without further ado, I'm going to turn the microphone over to Stephanie, who works at the Blind Rehab Center in the Veterans Administration in Long Beach. Her skills and abilities have earned her recognition by Congress in terms of her delivery of service to the veterans, and is very well respected among the professionals in the visual impaired community. So here is Ms. Stephanie Root, and I am going to be leaving, and hope you guys enjoy yourselves. Yeah.
Hello guys. First off, my name is Stephanie Root. You really introduced me. I did a presentation on Thursday on Zoom Text Fusion, which is the new product by AI Squared. I was asked last minute, and what I mean by last minute, less than a week ago, which means no prep time. So first I'm going to ask, does anybody in here use an iOS device, iPad, iPhone, iTouch?
I was going to ask you, could you give me more than just the letters and tell me what an iOS is?
Individual operating system, meaning it's self-contained, and it's an Apple product, and
Apple. All right.
Apple products. iPad, iTouch, iPhone. Am I missing any other devices, Louie?
Nope. You're doing fine.
Anything you can do anything virtually on any three of those devices, except phone calling, of course, is what's a part of the iPhone. Now, if you have the iPhone or one of the other devices, you can actually hand off a phone call to your iPad or your iTouch.
What would I run into since I've never been?
Well, the iOS,
iPhone,
iPad, those are the most popular. It's touch-based or gesture-based, where you use 1, 2, 3, or 4 finger gestures to send commands to the device. So for instance, let me turn on my machine because it's quiet right now. You can use Zoom for those who have fairly good, when I say fairly good vision, in other words, somebody who's a partial and considers themselves mid to high partial. I can still use Zoom for some things, but my vision has changed quite a bit. And so I use a combination of Zoom and VoiceOver, but primarily for productivity reasons, I use VoiceOver. That's the one that talks at us. Created most of it.
Okay. Do you have,
and I don't have to eat the microphone.
If you resubmit to Stephanie's MacBook Air, you can ignore this notification. Okay. Apple ID verification.
Hey. I haven't used my iPad since somebody has been working on my...
Not now. Enter the password for Sorin13 Gmail. Settings. Not now.
iCloud backup. This iPad hasn't been backed up in 35 weeks. Backups happen when this... Okay. App Store. 650 updates have been pending for 14 days. Ignore. Download. Ignore. Apple folder. 15 apps. 116 new items.
As you can see, I haven't played with my iPad in more than a week, and I've had some stuff done on my MacBook Air, and so all these updates, plus I've run out of iCloud space. So I have to decide what I'm going to do. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to back up to a computer. And so I don't have to worry about paying Apple to store my stuff. The purpose for having iCloud is to give you a sense of security, is if my iPhone stops working and I have to get it fixed or replaced, I can grab everything I've purchased already from the cloud. And it will save your settings as well. So when you update the settings that you originally had set for accessibility, for the most part, I've had almost all of them come across. Every once in a while, one or two has to be reset. But that's the purpose for iCloud. You're a computer, whether it's a Mac or a PC, you can back up the device to. As I was saying, there are gestures, sir. I didn't catch your name.
David.
There are 1, 2, 3, 4 finger gestures. And the most common ones are 1 and 2 finger gestures. I'm on my home screen, which normally most people have icons for each app. I have lots of apps, so I have folders for icons for apps.
Apple folder, 15 apps. Accessibility folder, 34 apps. Non-visual games folder, 5 apps. Bills folder, 3 apps. Camera, video recordings folder, 14 apps. Card games folder.
And all I was doing was using one finger to flick to the right or left to make it move from location to location, so I don't have to look at the screen. And when it kept... I'm touching the screen. I'm literally touching the screen and flicking my finger, like flicking a fly off of my arm, to the right or left.
Oh, I see.
Go and have fun.
Yes.
Hopefully we don't have to reset up.
Okay, guys.
Will you be back to turn this stuff off?
Sure.
So, most people who are using basic gestures are going to use one finger to flick to and from different items. Let's say I go down to
notes, messages, one unread message, double tap.
And it said double tap. I double tap with one finger and that opened it.
Button. Louis Herrera, are you on your way? Lynn Coates, Marie Herrera, Donna Pomerantz, Mona Craig. Okay, got it. Donna Pomerantz.
And that was a list of some of the people I've texted, and many of you may recognize some of those people. If I'm on the iPad, the screen is split into left and right-hand sides. On your iPhone or your iTouch, your list of people will be the first screen you see, and you can either flick to the right through it, or you can use what's called touch and drag, where you touch your finger to the screen and slide it down or slide it around, and whatever your finger comes across, VoiceOver is going to announce. The pluses with touch and drag is you get to kind of figure out where things are at. However, if you have no vision, you may miss buttons or things that you didn't come across. Where if you flick, if you're flicking to the right, it's going to go across everything there is from top to bottom in the order in which it comes across it. So I encourage people who have a tough time seeing the screen to use the flick method. Somebody who's a mid to high partial who can still recognize buttons, they might not be able to read the button, but they know that it's a button or they know that it's a picture, that they can just stick their finger on it and automatically get information. So for instance, I'm a low partial now, but I can see the different dots which represent each message, person, each conversation. And so I can touch.
Lynn Coates, what is wrong? Very rude. Never mind. Wednesday, 456.7. Sprint 3 MSG, celebrate your upgrade.
And so what I did there was I just randomly touched different messages instead of flicking to the right like I did when I first started. So those are the commands that are used most often, is flick left, flick right, and a single finger double tap. Now what if I wanted to read something? So I double tapped on the Sprint message. I could also use Siri to read new messages, but I don't think I have any at this point. Siri is what they call the digital assistant, where you can ask it, what time is it, what's the weather, where am I? Read me my new text messages, read me my new email. Now when it reads new email, it doesn't read you the whole thing. Excuse me. It reads you the heading, which means who it's from, who it came from, what time it was sent in the subject, and maybe, I say maybe, the first line of text.
At that point, you decide whether you want to know more or not.
Correct, and then you can double tap. Then you can go to that message and open it and read it. Okay. But Siri allows you to do things by voice. I teach veterans, and so a lot of them don't want to type, or they say, I can't learn to type. So we use Siri to create text messages, to create email, to create calendar events, to set the alarm, to set the timer, to get information from the internet, to get information like phone numbers if you're looking for something. So for instance, what time is it in New York City?
The time in New York is 1:44 p.m.
So I could then, I'm going to check something real quick.
Listen.
I don't want to listen.
At Sprint Network, LTE, 1044 LTE.
Okay. I was making sure that with Siri, we need to have an internet connection, whether it's your cellular connection. This particular iPad, I take a 1 gig service plan through Sprint so that I can use it anywhere. Most people get iPads and iTouches with just Wi-Fi signal. And most of the guys I teach want to just use it in their home. The iPhone, you have your cellular data. That's where your cellular data plan comes in, because anytime you query by asking a question, using the internet, using your email, using GPS, you're using your data. So like I was saying earlier, if I want to read a message, so I've double tapped on Sprint, and if I was on my phone, that message would then pop up. And I could do a
456.7. Sprint free MSG celebrate your upgrade eligibility with the new iPhone 6S. HTTP Sprint SUK 6IR. Link. Data rates may apply. Reply and to stop. 9:49 a.m. Attach media. Button. Message. Text message. Text field. Send. Dimmed. Button.
So that was the read all. I did a two-finger flick down. That will read from the beginning of wherever you touch. So if I was in the middle of an email, let's say I stopped it. Now I can stop playback. Most of you may use Zoom Text or JAWS or some other PC software that has assistive technology, and we know that the control key is our shut up or quiet key. Well, for voiceover, our shut up is a two-finger single tap. So at any time, you can make it shut up. When you do a two-finger single tap again, if you had been reading with a two-finger flick down, it would start up where it left off. If I want to read everything on this screen, including all of the message information, because I'm using my iPad, I would do a two-finger flick up, and it would read from the very top of the screen to the very bottom of the screen.
Can I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
And say I have to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I close it.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I come back, or I don't close it, I leave it there. And I have voiceover.
Mm-hmm.
But when I come back, it doesn't go where I was left off. It pops right back up to me.
That is correct, because while you left the... While you left the device Safari, which is the internet, you left Safari open, and maybe your phone went to sleep and locked, just like this one just did. And when you come back and you reopen that page, even though that page is up by default, Apple and the iOS devices assume that you're going to come back to the... that you're going to come back to that same page, but it always goes back to the top. Now, one of the glitches that I've seen since probably iOS, maybe it was 8, but it was really bad in 9. As before, if I went, let's say I follow, we're on ccbnet.org, and I follow a link, and I read that page, and I want to go back to the main page. When I go back to the main page, it now shoots up to the top, whether I want it to or not. Before, it used to drop us back at the link where we left off. One of the tricks, if you're quick enough, is I double tap on the back button, or you can use a two-finger rub, which is like putting your two fingers together and drawing a Z on the screen real quick. Any page that has a back button, that two-finger rub will do the same thing without having to find the back button. And then you touch the screen with one finger real quick. Sometimes that'll put you back to where you left off.
That's
in
the internet.
And yes.
Email,
you'll be open in that email you last had open, but you'll be back at the top. And so, if, there's a command, but it's an email. I'll give you an example. Let me open up something from a student.
Saturn, iCloud backup, unlock, button, unlock, that's called sick. Alert.
I know.
iCloud. Okay. Messages.
It's going to keep harassing us with the messages.
Oh.
Home. Safari. Cap mail. 210 unread emails. Mail. Mailboxes. No message selected. Mailboxes. Back button. Subject. Mike Rip. Inbox 220. Selected. Mike Rife, email, 32316. Where unread, David Silva, first email, 32216.
So let's say I want to read that one. I double tap on it with one finger. Now it's going to be short. It dropped me at the body of the message because it assumes that you already read the header from the list. And so now if I do a two-finger flick down.
Ladies, have a good day, David.
And so that was a very brief message. And it read to the end and then stopped. I'm going to try and find something a little larger or longer so that I can show the play pause, and then we'll go back and then go back into it. And you'll see that it goes back to the top.
It unread, Stephanie Rood. FW external leave and earnings state unread. Stephanie Rood. Microsoft Accessibility 1. 8. Unread. Stephanie Rood. T-Mobile prepaid cell phone unread. Stephanie Rood. Progress report. Search field.
Mm-hmm.
Edit. Search unread. 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 Stephanie. Unread. Stephanie Rood. FW external leave unread. Stephanie Rood. FWVHABRS National Comp Unread. Stephanie Rood. CSUN 8 Items of Interest. Mike Rive. Selected. David Silva. Stephanie Rood. FW Cognitive Rehabilit Unread. Stephanie Rood. Veteran Specific Apps. Unread. Stephanie Rood. Competency Cats 2006. Unread. Stephanie Rood. Updated Performance to Anthony Regina. Test, Stephanie Rood. Emailing computer maintenance 28 points docs. 315.16.
Okay, this one's a little longer. I was hoping to find the one I sent myself on the iOS gestures, but it's not here. Well, I have 5 email accounts, at least, and I may have sent it to one of the others. I have an email account that I started over 15 years ago that gets a whole bunch of junk, but I still use it when I sign up for junk stuff so that it goes to junk. I have an email that I use for business or education because it identifies myself. I use one for my students at the VA because we're not supposed to give out our government email address to them. Then I have my government email address. And I know I have at least two others. So I'm going to open this one, double tap.
Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs, modify and send to Tony.
Now, this may have an attachment because it didn't say it, but I'm going to do a two-finger flick down and we'll find out.
Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs, modify and send to Tony. Your message is ready to be sent with the following file or link. Attached.
And there is an attachment. I did a two-finger single tap and it shut up, and I'll do a two-finger single tap again and it will resume.
Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs. Note to protect against computer viruses. Email programs may prevent sending or receiving certain types of file attachments. Check your email security settings to computer maintenance, 28 points, docs.
Now you heard it say computer
attachment.
It said the name of the file and it said the size and then it said attachment. Sometimes it does and sometimes it doesn't say attachment. Sometimes with VoiceOver, it skips it. So what I've let people know is that at the end of the body, the attachments are usually placed. So if you can't see it, if you know that you've read everything, and you can go up from the bottom along the left-hand side. I'm going to run my finger up.
Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs. Button.
And it said button. That
the attachment.
Button indicates that we can double tap on it. Now, they fixed a lot of problems with attachments that we had when 9 first came out. So now when you double tap, it's going to open up a new screen and it's going to allow you to read that attachment or save that attachment to something else. So I'm going to open it, double tap.
Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs. Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs. Computer maintenance.
And so it stopped, and I could do a two-finger flick down if I want to continue reading, but I want to touch near the top left corner of the screen.
Sprint network, done, button.
There's a done button, and now I'm going to flick to the right.
Computer maintenance, 28 points, docs.
Yes, the title.
Share button.
And the share button gives us a whole lot of options. I've gotten this attachment, maybe I want to send it to somebody else without all of the other garbage. Because maybe I sent it out to 4 students and I had messages to each student, but I want to share this with somebody else. I don't want to share all the garbage my instructor gave me. So I'm going to double tap on share.
Alert. Message. Button. Draggable.
I can text message this.
Double tap it. Mail. Button. Message. Button.
Sure.
Draggable.
I could text message this to somebody else.
Mail. Button. Draggable.
Email it to somebody else.
Double save PDF to iBooks. Button.
I could save it as a PDF in iBooks and have it to read later on the device.
Copy to Pages.
Button. I could put it in Pages so that I could manipulate it, do other stuff with it, add stuff, take away stuff, change the size of the font.
What is Pages like Word?
Pages is the equivalent to Word from Apple.
Is iOS the Apple version of your operating system?
Yes, and on the iPad, iPhone, and iTouch, they call it iOS. On the Mac computers, whether it's a MacBook Pro, Mac Air, I can't remember what the big one's called, iMac, it's all OS. OS, and right now it's OS X. So, yes. Depends on the person's wants or needs. For instance, if I know the person, I get vets who said I miss reading.
Yeah.
So the first thing I'll say, do you have a library account?
Okay.
And if they do, or if they don't, because I've signed people up and gotten them into the library and then gotten them their BART account. If they're a student or going to be a student, I've had a few younger veterans. Or I've had a few veterans who still do technical stuff. Maybe they were a professor for many years, and they're into the sciences. I'll get them into Bookshare. And then I have guys who say, I don't care about reading books. I just want to read my TV listings. And while it's the other organization, it's a good product. The National Federation of the Blind's Newsline allows me to set up and let them read their TV listings or newspapers. So I have some guys who want to go back to reading the paper. The gentleman I have right now wants to be able to read his paper every single day. And he reads it from cover to cover. So, it's NFB Newsline, and you can do a self-application online. If you are a library service, you know, if you get BARD, if you get library services, that's one of the options for verification. While it says it could take up to a week, I think it's a week, usually I get back a response from anywhere from 45 minutes to 2 days. So sometimes it's right turnaround right away. So for reading, those are three that I use quite frequently. Now, depending on, I had one gentleman who wanted to be able to identify signage out in the public. He wanted to be able to, as he walked through the hospital, be able to take a picture of the overhead signs or the signs on the walls and get feedback. While TapTapC gives you the first 100 pictures free, it could be very useful for that kind of thing, because it goes out, queries the internet, comes back, and it gives you the information. It might even tell you the color of the sign or the background of the sign. TapTapC can be used for identifying canned goods and other types of product if you want to know very simple stuff. For scanning and reading long pieces of text, such as mail, maybe a posting on a bulletin board, handouts in school, there's what's the free one I have? Let me look on my phone because I don't know where it is on my iPad. My iPad is TextGrabber is one. I haven't looked at what's new since CSUN. A few months ago, they had different rates, although I can give you a secret. How long it will work, I do not know. Because I've had to delete it off my device when my device went nuts. When I brought it back, I was down to like 40 pictures. I was back up at 100. So it regenerated itself. When I deleted it off the device and then re-downloaded it, it gave me the 100 pictures again. Now, like I said, I don't know how many times you can get away with doing that. From the expensive
KNFB Reader.
KNFB Reader. It normally is $99, right? I have to look at the email I got. I think it's 80 something dollars, but they have different specials. It depends on how much you have to rely on it. If I have a student who's a veteran who plans to go back to school and knows that they're going to get a lot of handouts because they've already gone through the process of registering and talking to professors, which I have had in the past, because I took six different scan and read from free to the most expensive, which was KNFB, and I scanned things with watermark backgrounds, bad contrast, difficult to read text, and more. And out of those six, KNFB Reader was able to read everything but one item. So it depends on the need. If somebody's total, they have no one else to read for them on a regular basis, and they need something reliable, there's a reason for it. But if you're not wanting to read regularly, oh, don't dim.
Accessibility folder, 20 opening scan in red folder, skip Zoom Reader.
Zoom Reader is a $20 app, which does pretty good. Plus you can email it and you can bring pictures in. So let's say I have had taken a picture of something that had text, or I did a screenshot. So for instance, I pay a lot of my bills through my apps, but I will save the last receipt page with the confirmation number. There's a way you can label your pictures using VoiceOver, and then you can go back and bring that picture into a number of these scan and read apps to read the content of that picture, the text. So for instance,
double tap to open. Photo library button. Photo library photos. Selfies. Rose for rose. Rose moments. But moment. To photo. Age 57. Photo. Photo. Back process.
Image ready.
Process. OCR. OCR. Back button.
FL Secure 6. One on beach. Help utility services T account inform a payment confirmation. Thank you. Your payment has been processed. Account number. 5 and a customer name. Rude. Stephanie payment amount.
Stop button.
So I was able to pull... That was a screenshot that I had taken of the confirmation page from my utility bill. And I brought it into the Zoom text, the Zoom reader, to reread it. So let's say I had I got the confirmation, it said I paid this much, and then my bank account said, no, we took twice that much. I could then go and call the utility company and say, this is my confirmation number. What are you doing? Zoom Text Zoom Reader, it's from AI Squared, and it's an app that can be used for scan and read. It's a $20 app. The voice that comes with it, as you heard, sounds like the guy's being, his nose is being held. There are some other voices. That's an in-app purchase. I have opted not to purchase them. That's just because I'm cheap.
Now, when it said OCR, was that part of your Zoom Reader?
That's part of the Zoom Reader. It's OCRing. It was OCRing the text from the picture that I took. It can also OCR text. Let's see if it does my gestures. I'm going to have to, I'll turn up my phone as loud as it'll go because I can't hold three things at once.
So that was in your phone?
The picture was in my phone, yes.
No, I mean,
I purchased it, yes. I actually shelled out $20. Capture photo, and it's going to take a picture.
Process.
Now it says process, and I can double tap.
Process. Process.
Okay.
OCR.
Now it's going to...
...ideal gestures, one-finger gestures, gesture action, touch or move around the screen, tap 2 times, T pass, tap 2 times, and hold speaks, and select the item under your finger, deactivate the selected item, conda off and jet, press button, activate, sky mode, move cons, swipe, delete, I cap tap 3 times, ST double presses a button, see tip below.
So, it takes a bit to get used to that voice. I have been a screen reader for many years, and that particular voice did take me a little bit to get used to. I started out much slower with the voice. There is also Save Text is another free one. That one, while it's free, it does a pretty good job of scanning. You do need to know, at least have the concept of, if it doesn't scan right, maybe my orientation is wrong, because it doesn't self-orient like KNF Reader or the AI Squared's Zoom Reader. TextGrabber will orient whether it's upside down or right side up. However, one of the things that I do with my guys when they use TextGrabber is I ask them, do they want to keep all the images? Because by default, TextGrabber, if you don't go into settings and turn off that feature, every picture they take or everything they scan gets saved to the camera roll, which then takes up space. Any more questions? Some of the, I don't use color identifiers on the phone. I'd rather go out and buy even the cheapest color identifier, the $65, can't remember the name of it, Rainbow something or something Rainbow. because while the cameras have improved over the years, the cameras aren't good enough to pick up the color variation, and so many times I have a couple of things that are kind of a mossy light green, and it insists that it's brown or gray. And so the color identifiers I don't recommend even to my guys. I do not have a light detector, but there is a product for 99 cents for detecting light. So if you have somebody who's totally blind but likes to have the lights on at night so it looks like there's somebody in the house and they can't remember which lights they've taken out, they've turned off, they can use the light detector to check the room. It also works for things like printers. When your printer stops printing and it has a series of lights or blinking lights, at least you can use that light detector to determine whether or not there are blinking lights on the printer. And if you've been told if the top light's blinking or the second light, you know, if you know the sequence, many times people are able to troubleshoot their printer. Or phone lines, being able to tell a phone line is lit up.
Stephanie, I'd like to add that with the scan and read, I had a lot of trouble getting the right distance and holding the camera steady.
Okay.
So I bought one of those stands. It was like $31 on Amazon that I love.
Which one? Do you know what it was called?
I think it's just called Scan and Read.
There's one that's called the Stand Scan.
Yes.
That's it. That one works well for the iPhone,
yes.
Especially now that I have an original one, which doesn't have the markers that you can set up for your phone. What I mean by the markers are there's little foam L's, and what you do is how I place my camera on that particular product. That product, for those who don't know what it is, really looks like a cardboard erector set that is folded up flat. And when you unfold it and fasten the Velcro pieces together, you have a three-sided, one, two, four,
oh, no,
five,
six. That's not the one I have, because the one I have, it has like fly nuts and stuff to adjust the fly nuts.
So I don't know the name of that one.
But it can be adjusted for different. Yeah, it's metal and heavy, so it's nice.
No, the Stand Scan is lightweight. You can toss it in a briefcase, a backpack. You can power it on, there's two versions, one with lights, one without. One with lights, you can power with a 9-volt battery, or you can plug it in, or if you really want to carry a bunch of batteries, it's 7 AA batteries. With that one, like I said, it's lightweight, and they now have markers. But what I tell people, when you're using scan and read, whether you're scan and reading a document on the table, in that case, most 8.5 by 11 objects will be picked up if you use your elbows as a tripod on the table and you place the phone. I'm going to hold the phone. Do you have any vision?
No.
No.
Not that far.
Not that far. So what I do is I pick...
Light dark.
Okay. I pick up the phone and I hold it on the left and right hand side. What's one of the reasons why I like Zoom Reader, even though it has the cruddy voice and sometimes I may have to scan more than once, it has voice activation, so it gets rid of the shaky double tap, where with KNFB Reader I use a different technique, and usually I'll stand because the way they have the buttons, or I'll use the technique I'm doing now, which is I'll put my elbows on the table. First I start with the phone, put the camera the center of the document, and then I place my elbows on the table. I'm going to speak loud and do it so I can describe it.
Thumb and index or thumb and middle. I have a plus, so I'm using the thumb and middle finger on the corners of the phone. And I have the camera approximately center of the paper document. I then raise the phone straight up. As I raise the phone straight up, I'm sliding my elbows. So now my elbows are the tripod to hold the phone steady. With the KNFB reader, if you have an extra finger, a available. It's one side is for your take picture, and the other side is to find out your tilt. So it's a matter of touching one side and then doing a split tap by dropping your other finger, extra finger down on the opposite side to take that picture. And because you have the other four fingers holding the phone, and you can even rest on the edge of the phone, so you're actually using three fingers. With the Zoom reader, I can say take picture, click, or snap.
It's voice activated?
Yes.
It's called Zoom reader?
Zoom reader from AI Squared, and it's $20.
Now, do you have the vibration on the KNFB reader?
The KNFB reader has a tilt.
It vibrates, but it's not.
Yeah. That's correct. Those are the two reading ones. I had a gentleman who used the stand scan, which was, like I said, it's a, think of a cube with an open, one side open. It kind of slanted, but it's for the most part a cube. And one side's open, and inside are lights, so no matter what you put in there, it's always going to be well lit. You put the document in, and it fits. An 8.5 by 11 document just fits in there. Put the camera on top of the way. Nowadays, you can make markers, so you just set your phone in there. And then for him, once his phone was set, he either used a Bluetooth keyboard or he used the voice commands. And he'd say, he put his document in, and then he'd say, snap, or take a picture, whichever one worked for him the best. And then when it came up and said ready, he would say read, and it would process. And then he had it set up to automatically read, so then it would read his document. And then all he needed to do was either use the keyboard to go back to the prior page or reach up and rub the screen until it was back to start over for the next scanning. The addition with the KNFB reader is that you can scan more than one page into a single document. In other words, you can save it and add as many pages as you want. With the Zoom reader, you're scanning a page. You can save the page, but you can't save multiple pages.
Okay, I found the name. I don't know if this is the one that she has for the stand, but this is mine. It's called FOPYDO, Smart Stand. And what it is, it's a plastic. It's a yellow plastic and blue.
Uh-huh.
And when you set it up, which I had to get somebody to set it up. In fact, I did it upside down. But when I understood that when I did it upside down, that was the side that was for the iPad.
Uh-huh.
They had a longer
base to set on.
So somebody did it for me. And that's what I wanted to talk about.
Uh-huh.
It works very well.
Yeah, the one I have is, I wouldn't hold an iPad.
Yeah, it was from Apple.
So, okay, I'll have to look into the options.
The one I looked at, the one we have, I bought, it's all metal. The whole thing is metal.
Metal, okay.
Yeah, and it doesn't tip or anything. It's really
very sturdy. That's what I was looking for. Something for much
more than two.
It was $31.
That's still cheap.
Yeah.
For something that you say was heavy and sturdy.
Yeah.
I have a few guys who would benefit from something more steady and.
And it adjusts a little bit, like if you had an Android or something.
Okay.
Well, my iPal broke for a while, and then, you know, just to read mail and stuff, and so it was a lot easier to just, I have the KNFB reader, so I just put it in its spot, and I just had to put a piece of paper under it and tap, you know,
yes.
So it was a lot easier than try to sit there with elbows and everything.
Correct. But, you know, and then for some of the guys who say, well, I want to be able to read the stuff on the bulletin board at school, I still use the put the camera in the center of the item on the bulletin board you want to read. And then I have to hold the phone, depending on which app they're using, whether they're using Zoom Reader or if they're using KNFB, but put their elbows up against their body. So now they're using their body as their tripod. And so I've got my fingers on the back of the phone and I have my thumbs on the front side of the phone. And so even with that, I can lift one thumb to do a double tap. And I still have my body as that support to try and keep the shake down. Shake is always an issue when you're doing scanner.
Yeah, Stephanie, it's Debbie. Can I ask a quick question?
Yes.
And this is not the right time to ask. ask it, but I just let you know.
But this is totally impromptu, so there's nothing wrong.
Okay, right on. So a few weeks ago, I heard news how Facebook is catering towards Vine, and so it's now somehow describing to us what's in the photo versus the way we were trying to do it in WebStrip. You know, we would type in text.
It'll still read alt text, so we can still use alt text. And I still would, for those people who are developing, if you have the ability to put alt text, to do so. Because I've tried it. Let me go.
Communications folder, communications, padding, text field, Facebook. Double tap to open. Notifications, to new. Profile, people you make, Sue Sweetman, Brenda Scott shared Channel 4 News' video. Yesterday, Sue, Brenda Scott, people you make in Prague, selected, request.
Okay.
All right,
let me see if I can find something. Because I did the other day.
Brenda Scott shared Barry K. Jackson's post. 1 hour, friends, it's always those lying, hypocritical, phony ass Republicans that are shouting the loudest about other people's morality, that are the ones hiding the fact that they are the most immoral, sickest, sexually twisted perverts around. Barry K. Jackson, 1 hour. Everyone, keep in mind, we're talking.
And it's not because she's.
Now, does the person have to type it in?
It's been hit or miss for me. Some things it says.
I'm trying to find.
Yeah, when the story came out in the news a few weeks ago,
I heard it
was describing the photo to the girl, and I thought, is that an app? Or is it looks Facebook?
No, and I've also heard that some people have to restart their phone to get it to ring.
And I didn't know if it was an iPhone or what product.
They're doing it with the Apple devices first.
Okay. No. I don't understand what you're talking about.
I'm trying to find something. So that you'll understand what she's talking about.
She's trying to find a
trying to find a photo that's not a video, but this one person whom I'm just about ready to unfriend because of all the political ranting and raving.
Oh.
And I get, I don't know how many pieces of text a day.
Sue Sweetman was tagged in a post. More. Juanita Herrera with Sue Sweetman and Mokhtar Malik at Marriott LAX yesterday at 10:48 a.m. Los Angeles. Friends, two of my favorite people at the CTEBBI conference. Photo, no internet connection.
Oh, just when I was going to read it, I just lost my...
Sue Sweetman was tagged in a post. More. Juanita Herrera with Sue Sweetman and Mokhtar Malik at Marriott LAX yesterday at 10:48 a.m. Los Angeles. Friends, two of my favorite people at the CTEBBI conference. Photo, image may contain two people, 18 likes, react.
May contain two people, so it just determined that there were two people. I came across one that had a sunset that said something about landscape and sun.
Did I hear 18 likes?
18 likes.
Oh, likes.
There was a centipede in that
color. I don't know, maybe just a bunch of likes.
But you just counted the likes.
Any other questions? I'm really open for free form because, like I said, this was asked less than a week ago. Come do this.
Are there any specific organizational apps? Because I'm new to the iPhone, but I really need to get organized in Office and Calendar and all of that, putting things together to keep track of myself. And my friend
I haven't tried that. There, I'd have to actually do a little research as to what people are using that is working.
What do you use to keep yourself?
I use the calendar.
Just the calendar?
I use the calendar because it has a lot of options. The calendar, I can create sub-calendars. In other words, by default, it uses either your main email account as, excuse me, the linked place to save it. So for instance, if my slrude13@gmail.com is my main email account, and because it's a Gmail, it links itself to the Gmail calendar. And I can put in sub-calendars. Like for instance, because when I first set this up, when I first got my phone quite some time ago, I set up the calendar before I set up my email. So my iCloud is my default. And so I have a medical calendar, or it's an appointments calendar, CCB calendar, work calendar, my own personal calendar. I have like two others. One I use as a test calendar when I'm working with the vets. So I can always turn that one off and it doesn't show the stuff that they put in. Because before we issue them a device, we will work with them, and many times I end up working with them on my own phone. And
do all of those calendars interact with each other? Like, or do you have to check each one?
I can have every single calendar on, which I do. And because I still have some vision, I can assign each calendar a different color so that when I open it up, if there's something in the calendar, I can also ask Siri, what's on my calendar for this week?
Last Wednesday, you had an all-day appointment. Would you like to hear more about it?
Yes.
Checking.
And if I just lost the internet, it might dump out on us. Because he's still checking.
Can you check all of your calendars?
I can check for a specific date. I can check for a specific period of time. I can add something to the calendar. I can delete something from the calendar. And I can reschedule something all using Siri. But also, you can go in. Okay. And under settings, under mail, under calendar, you can have a default reminder. In other words, for birthdays, anything that I put in my address book and I give a birthday, it's going to put it in your calendar.
Okay.
And I tell it, I want birth date notifications a week ahead of time. That way I can send a card, send a gift, send an email. And I won't forget, or hopefully won't forget. Now, for regular appointments, because in most cases, up until recently, I was having to take access everywhere, and access meant call a day ahead of time. So my default reminder was one day ahead. And then I would go into the calendar itself. If I made it with Siri, I'd go into that event and add a secondary reminder, let's say 2 hours before the appointment, which would be when I'd probably have my access come pick me up, whatever the time duration that would be equivalent to when my access was to pick me up. You can also notify other people of an event. So let's say, for instance, this had been a scheduled event, let's say, with me. I had known about it, let's say, 3 months ago. I could have then put it in my calendar, and then several people from CCB that I thought might be interested, and I had their email addresses, I could share that event with them, send it to them, and then they would have it in their calendar if they accepted it. You need to have an email account.
Okay.
And like I said, it doesn't have to be your main account. It can be, you can make a Gmail account just for whatever it is that you intend on. That's how come I have so many accounts. I have lots of free ones. So I generally use the calendar. I do use the color coding because I can still pick up the color coding. I can't read the appointment unless I either use VoiceOver or ask Siri. But it helps me, like all of a sudden I see red, oh no, I've got an appointment somewhere.
Yeah.
Where if it's blue, it's work, and if it's purple, it's personal. If it's green, it's CCB. Absolutely, absolutely.
Amtrak, I cannot make a reservation on Amtrak with a screen reader because the date field is not accessible. But the app is on the iPhone, so that's something I discovered recently.
Many, many, even online banking is much easier on the iDevices. Less of a hassle, more streamlined.
Don't have all the graphics taking up.
Even if there are, it's not an issue because it's going to either tell you the tag, and you'll know it's a picture, and it's not just something that's garbage to you. It's going to tell you the fields. If you have tutor mode on, and what you heard with mine, I leave it on because I work with the vets. If I wasn't teaching this, I would probably turn it off by now because I don't need to be told to double tap every time I need to double tap. But for the new folks, it's helpful.
I find the Find My Friends very, very useful.
Now that's something you'll have to tell me. I don't use it because...
Well, I have it with my daughter and my son. And what it is, if they have the app also, you invite each other and allow each other to look at each other where your iPhones are at. And so I was able to, like one time, I was going to San Francisco where my daughter lives, and the Amtrak bus, because of Super Bowl and stuff, it actually dropped us off at Transbay. It did not go into down, you know, the financial district or anywhere else because roads were blocked. And I didn't know that was going to happen ahead of time. And we were going to meet downtown, you know, and it was... And so it was kind of nice because I said, I got dropped off somewhere else. Can you find me? And she would do Find My Friends. She saw, oh, you're over at Transbay. So she could go find me. So it was now helpful. Also, if they're on their way coming to visit, because we live in the valley, I'll know, okay, she's an hour away. She's on her way home. And so it's a really useful app.
But you both have to have.
And it's accessible. That's what I love. It'll tell you how many miles away, how many minutes away.
The Find My Friends app is by default put on your device when you get your phone. It's an Apple product. Now, there is another Find My Friends app, and I think that's what they call it, from Sendero. I have not used it, partly because in the places that I've been, where there are umpteen million other blind people, I didn't want them to know where I was at. I didn't want to be seeked out. Because
so
it were,
it's not an invitation to connect in the Sendero
one? The one that's provided by Apple is by default on the phone. It's now something that is one of those apps that when you get your phone, it's going to be automatically there. Whether you use it is a different story. I haven't used mine, but you'd have to open it up and sign into your iCloud account, as I believe. And once you've signed in, and then you add people to your friends list,
yeah,
and they add accept you or vice versa.
Right, right.
So that's just between iOS devices. That's not like an Android and an Apple campaign.
Not with that app. Although people have been asking Apple to release it to other platforms, but I don't think they will. But that's where I think the Find My Friends from the Sendero folks, the GPS people, they maybe make it for both platforms.
Okay.
And that's something to look into.
There
are other apps out there if you do, because I know I used something mostly because I wanted to track my horrendous trips when I was commuting from Northridge to Long Beach every day. And I wanted to have a picture of a map of the trip in which I would take that was outrageously stupid so that I had it to place into my documents of complaints. And I forgot the name of it. It was a free thing. It only worked within an 8-hour period. Well, hell, if I was on access for more than 8 hours, I was in bad shape. And the longest trip I had going from Long Beach to Northridge was 5 hours. And I did this for 3 years. And moved to Long Beach.
Tell me, say lost my... I'm always putting my magnifier somewhere and I can't find it.
There is an app. I haven't gotten to try it because it uses it. You purchase, it's kind of like stickers that have. Yes, they're expensive.
I love to buy different ones of them all.
Yes, they're all expensive.
I mean, just for one is $25 or something like that.
Correct. You're right. Those are the only ones I've found. The closest thing that is not an iOS device that I had found was something that Sharper Image used to produce that had a main, think of it as a main remote with 8 buttons. And each of those buttons corresponded to a keychain or item that you could connect to a device, whether it's your car keys, your magnifier, your iPhone. although you can use Find My... Yes, if you have one. If you have an iPhone, a regular phone. And that you press the remote, and then that that keychain will beep and flash.
So like a luggage finder.
Kind of like a luggage finder. But it's like a thing that had, in this case, I think it had 8 different items. Well, the remote you could actually, it was made so that you could actually hang it on a wall or in some location so that it wouldn't go away. And then make sure you firmly attach the locators. That was, I found it through Sharper Image, I think they still have an online store. They used to have brick and mortar stores, but they got pushed out of the business.
That was great when they were in the malls. You could actually touch and test them out.
Yep, and that's where I bought mine, and I have it packed somewhere in a box. I think I'll be unpacking for the next year. I bought a house, but it doesn't have enough storage, so I'm trying to create storage as I unpack. Let me see. Now, another item that can be useful to folks is the government-issued free iNote app, EYENOTE, that'll identify U.S. currency, dollar bills, 5, 1s, 2, 5, 10, 20, 50, and 100. If you travel outside of the U.S., LookTel Money Reader will read something like 27 different paper currencies.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. And that is basically as simple as install it. The iNote is free. The LookTel Money Reader is $9.99. You install it. The first time you open it, it's going to ask you, do you allow the camera? Say yes, because if you don't, then it won't work. You would have to then go to privacy and actually tell it to the app to allow the camera to use it. And it's simple as the LookTel, if my money's even folded, in most cases it still recognizes the denomination. The iNote has improved. It isn't as temperamental as it used to be. It used to be you had to have it completely flat. You had to have it in between these lines. But they've improved it, so now you can just point the camera and it does a pretty good job of recognizing paper currency. Yes, the Amazon, I believe it's an Amazon Echo app, but basically what it's allowing you to do is you have an Amazon account, and when that account and your Echo are linked together, whether it's an iPhone, a PC, some kind of connectivity between a device, your internet provider, and the Echo. You can then tell it, add such and such to my grocery list, and it will add it. And once you're ready to purchase, you can say something like, I haven't done it because I don't have an Echo, but my friends do. I think it's something like buy or purchase. You
It'll
put it in your Amazon cart. See, like if I put something in my Amazon cart on my computer at work, I can then go to my iPhone and I can see that very same item sitting in my cart. So the cart is virtual. It's based on the internet. So that's why Echo is able to add stuff to your cart. But it has to know that you have an account. And when for setting up the Echo, when you first set it up, you do need to identify your Amazon account. But if you have that app running, whether it's on your computer or on your phone, then it has a lot more accessibility options. Like for instance, home automation. In other words, there are light sockets that you can put in the wall that you then can plug in your lamp, your coffee maker, what have you. I know that they do the lights, so you can tell it. Let's say you have a light that has one of those sockets in your bedroom, one at the front door next to the window by the front door, let's say one in the family room. And so you have one labeled, you can either give it a number or a name. So let's say you say, turn on the front room light, then Echo would turn on that front room light. So in other words, if somebody came and knocked at your door and that light wasn't on, it would then be on.
Can you link it then to Siri, or do you have to do it on the Echo?
The Echo. There are lots of different things being added to Echo on a regular basis. You can ask Echo a number of things, just like you can Siri. It's kind of like Siri in terms of how it operates. David, do you understand what Siri is?
No.
Siri is like a voice assistant where you can ask it questions. You can ask it questions about time, about weather. You can ask it to do internet searches. You can ask it for directions to locations. You can ask it for phone numbers. An Echo, which is an Amazon product, which is a standalone tube, is what it kind of looks like. It looks like an oversized beer can.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, with lights on top.
With a light that yes, that when the Echo is listening, her light is green and blue. Then when she's processing it, but I know I've seen it go red before, and I think that's when she has trouble.
Yeah. She goes, mm.
What I'm understanding is that technically you can use the app just once to set up the Echo to your internet provider. And once it's set up to internet, you don't have to use the app. But if you want to use some of the advanced features, then you'll want to have the app installed. Like making purchase.
Prime Music or something.
Yes, Prime Music, Prime Videos, Prime Book, the books. So you can have Amazon, the Echo will read you audible books. You can purchase, download, and have it read to you books. And when you leave off, Echo, Alexa, stop reading. And then later on you say, open John Grisham's whatever, or read me John Grisham's whatever. She'll pick up where you left off. She'll help you with math. Yes. Correct. Any other questions? It's 11:42. I know this was kind of haphazard. Had I had planning time, I would have probably done a whole cohesive presentation.
Sometimes that's not as helpful, just being able to just ask questions.
I wish more people had come to the Zoom Text one, because Zoom Text has basically merged their Zoom Text reader with Window Eyes, and it's for folks who are low vision or have vision disorders that will eventually lessen their vision and maybe even go completely blind. It's a nice transitional piece of software. It allows you to use the magnification for as long as you can. And maybe when you get up to, I tell people when you get up to 8x, you should start using screen reading. But in this case, you can still use your magnification with the screen reader. The screen reader has a lot of built-in prompts to help you learn. And the tracking is excellent. Windows 7, Windows 8.1, and Windows 10. Office 2008, Office 2010, Office 2013, and it will work with Office 2016 in the near future. Internet Explorer, Firefox, and it will work with Chrome in the near future.
See, I have an old Office,
2007 is when they started using the the ribbon bar. If you have all those cute little pictures at the top of your Word document, then you're using 2010 or 2007 or 2013.
No,
pull down?
Yeah.
That's probably
I get it. It's
hard to see. That's, I know.
I hate 7. Oh.
Is there anybody who would benefit from a gestures sheet? I have a sheet that has the finger gestures, the keyboard, Bluetooth keyboard commands, and Braille interface commands.
Yes.
I only have two.
Well, we can share one.
We can share
it. Yeah.
Yeah,
we're all together. We'll give it to Joe, who's our IT trainer.
Basically got that off the internet. So there may be some gestures, I mean, some things on there that you still know about that aren't there. But for the most part, most of it's there.
Now, sometimes I accidentally turn on my music. And I thought it was a two-finger double tap that was doing that.
Yes, sometimes it is. And sometimes for a while there was a bug.
Yes, you could make it.
There was a bug in the software where people were trying to answer their phone and their music would come on.
Yes. That's,
and that was a bug.
Okay, so I wasn't doing it.
It wasn't you.
Okay. Yeah, it's still there. Is there any way to turn off the music? I mean, like, you can't get rid of that app, can you, or that? It's on the dock.
It's, well, no, you can move things in your dock. You can have on a phone, you can have up to 4 items. You can move anything in and anything out of your dock. On an iPad, you can have up to 6 items. You can move anything in and anything out.
Can you take it out of your dock really quickly?
Not necessarily.
No, because it's not off the phone.
It's not the dock that's doing
it.
It's the iOS.
Don't want it,
not the not many of the Apple apps. You can't remove them. But what I do for my vets who are never going to ever use them, I put them all in a folder that says Apple apps, or I might even just say miscellaneous. Then I take that folder and I move it off to the last page, so he'll never run into it.
Like stops.
Yes. Although some of my guys actually read the stops.
Yeah, there might be, but.
And who else wanted the other copy? We'll exchange email addresses because I want to find out about that device. The scan.
Well,
have you ever used AirDrop?
AirDrop's on the
iPhone?
Yes.
I don't know.
It's sitting in your control center. Touching the top.
So you
touch your status bar and then do a 3-finger flick up. Find your AirDrop. Double tap on AirDrop.
AirDrop. You can make yourself discoverable to everyone. Off, but contacts only. Everyone.
I chose everyone because she's not in my contacts. She has to do the same thing. see where you're at.
No, I'm trying to find the picture.
Well, you'll also need to turn AirDrop on for you to be able to send that picture to me.
And then you just send it, what, because you're right next to each other?
Or? Could be, as long as we're using, we're in the same area, so we'd be using the same wireless, and there's Bluetooth. So then the iPhones will see anybody who's in the range if I'm using it at all. If I use a contacts only, it's only going to look for people I have in my contacts.
Okay.
And then when I can AirDrop, I can share web pages, I can share pictures, I can share contacts. Anything that has that share button usually has the ability to do an AirDrop as well. So for instance, I'll give you a good example of when I've used AirDrop. I had a veteran and I took two veterans to this Christmas party thing that we had at the VA. They wanted to participate. And they were both learning iOS devices, one the iPad, one the iPhone. They were both learning how to do video and to do pictures. And when we got back the next day in class, my one veteran says, how many pictures did you take? And I was showing him on my iPad, because I had both of my devices with me. He said, oh, I want, you know, one guy just wanted a couple pictures. But the other guy says, I want all 20 some odd pictures. I didn't want to send all 20 some odd pictures in two or three groups. And I said, we're going to do AirDrop. We got set up. Then I touched share. I touched moment. Then I touched share. Then I chose AirDrop. When he came up, I double tapped. He got a message on his phone saying that I wanted to share a moment of photos with him. And then he accepted, and they would go into his photos.
Okay, I found the photo.
Okay, so now you need to turn on AirDrop.
That's this, right? That's sure.
Yeah, but first we need to.
Oh, that little one. Thank you.
So now we're going to touch AirDrop. Then we're going to choose all contacts.
Yes.
And I think that's what happened.
Yes.
I think we've all done that at least.
Yes.
Exactly.